May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We continue in prayer. O Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, did weep at the grave of Lazarus, his friend. Look, we beseech thee with compassion upon those who are in sorrow this morning. Comfort them, O Lord, with thy gracious consolations. Make them to know that all things work together for good to them that love thee, and grant them evermore sure trust and confidence in thy fatherly care. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On a few occasions in ministry, the phone rings on Saturday night, usually after 9 o'clock. And it is the phone call that changes everything for the Sunday morning experience. As you can well imagine, as we received the news of the passing of Jim Baker last night, it changed everything for today. It's important that we take the risk of speaking into our experience even when it's fresh and raw. And for us as a community, the loss of both Jim Baker and Bob Birdie, too, within as many weeks, has a profound impact on our community. Add to that the fact that for the last year and a half, it's been very difficult for people to grieve in ways they've traditionally been allowed to do so. The attendance at funerals have been restricted, and now we're using live stream, dare I say, television, as a substitute. It's adequate, but it's barely a resemblance of community, where we surround each other in love and support and encouragement. But not only has our own community been in grief losing our own in the last few weeks, indeed over the last year and a half, funerals from a year ago that are yet still to happen. But there is a national grief, an embarrassment, a humiliation, a terror, and it keeps getting worse. Fly the Canadian flag high, some say. Sing the national anthem, some say. And others are advising us not to do either. How we respond in the moment matters more than in the moment. We need time to think and to pray and to grieve. We need to acknowledge when there is a significant loss. When it's clear that the Indigenous issue will now reach the thousands, in unmarked graves of tiny innocent children. And yet, how do we deal with this kind of grief? Is it meant to be shamed? Or is it of a tragedy long ago that needs to be felt in this moment? How do we bring healing at a national level to those people who had no fault of their own find themselves grieving this many years later? The church is called to help people to grieve. We are also called to declare the need for justice, to change the patterns that resulted in the horrific circumstances that we now face as a grieving nation. This will be a long-standing work. There will be many tears. And on top of all of that, we have our own grief, our own time of missing those that we love and see no longer. I want to encourage you today to be extremely patient with yourselves and those around you, to be gentle with yourself to allow yourself the time to cry, to take those long walks in the forest that allowed you to commune with God, who you know loved you before you were born, and walks with you in the midst of your loss and your suffering. These are difficult days. Difficult days to be in the midst of grief. And yet, let us not forget as Christian the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I know this to be true, that in the blink of an eye, Bob and Jim moved from this world into the next. That both received the blessing and the anointing of Jesus Christ, and that the true grief is not for them, for they have received their reward. They are in the presence of the Creator and Redeemer of the universe. It's us that are hurting because we will miss them. May we do our best in the coming weeks and months to celebrate their lives, to remember them for all that they were, to remember Bob's extraordinary sense of humor, his laughter, his generosity, his thoughtfulness, and his kindness, to remember Jim for much the same qualities, for his adoration of family and friends. About 3.5 years ago, in a conversation with Jim, I talked about doing home visits and the desire to place a hanging cross in each home. And his response was, "How many do you need?" Within 2 weeks, there were 100 crosses that he made by hand to be placed in every home. He said the most unusual thing. "As long as I'm alive, don't tell anybody I did this." How prudent that is this morning. Last week, he dropped by my office to talk about his family, his children and grandchildren, how proud he was of them, how much joy they had given him in his life. Both these men, among so many others that you are remembering this morning, those that you have not been given the proper ways to be able to celebrate their lives and to grieve their loss, sometimes through funerals, sometimes through the gathering of others. We celebrate the lives of those that we have lost this day. And we remember that they are truly still alive in our memories, in our experiences, in our morals, our ethics, and our values. They live on. As we come together today as a community of faith, may we continue to be that place locally, provincially, and nationally that represents a love that passes all understanding. In Jesus' precious name, amen.